And I looked up at him. I didn't answer. I didn't say nothing. I was like Eliezer. I was froze, man. I had my Bible there. I was holding my Bible. And he said, if you don't put up that Bible, he said, we. Now, I don't know what that meant. He didn't need any we. He was plenty by himself. He says, we are going to whip you like we did Gary if you don't put up that Bible. And I'm thinking, I can read later. I don't have to read now. Fact is, I'm tired. And I want to go to bed. But I'm telling you the truth now. I would have put the thing up, but I was froze with a Bible in my hand. Could not get rid of it. I'm wanting to go to bed now, and I'm froze. I literally froze. Finally, they all turned around and walked off. And then the next day, this other guy walked up. I'm going to just tell you right now, I didn't have any friends. A guy toting a Bible in the army, trust me, he's not going to be, popular. So this other guy walks up to me and looks down at me. His name was Fraser. I never forget it. I was at the VA hospital hoping I'd run into Fraser. I'd like to run into Fraser. And Fraser looked, God, you can't miss Fraser. This guy was so big. His neck was so big, he couldn't turn his head. He turned his body. This is the way Fraser turned. You said, hey, Fraser. I don't know how he drove, For him to look around, he had to turn the car around and look back, And so he walks up to me, and I thought, he's going to jump on me now? He walks up and he said, hey, bud. I said, yes. Hey, Fraser. He said, I heard about what happened last night. I said, uh-huh. He said, let me tell you something. They bother you again about reading your Bible? You just tell me and I'll take care of them. I said, oh, Fraser. Can you believe? I was so excited, I had to tell somebody the good news. I had to. I knew they'd want to know. So the next night, in the barracks, when everybody was in, taking showers, getting ready for bed, and cleaning their weapons and everything, I went walking down through the middle of the barracks with my Bible. How are y'all doing? They had all heard about Fraser. Yeah. I felt. Isn't it amazing what God... So here's Eliezer. He's in this battle. God freezes his hand. Can you imagine a guy, he's wanting to surrender, and the cops get there and he said, I surrender. And they said, throw down the gun. He said, I can't, but I surrender. They said, throw down the gun. God can get us in places we just can't quit. We just can't quit. He froze, and this is what the Bible said. It's in the book. It said, God wrought a great victory. Now after this victory, guess what happens? Then all the people come in for the spoil. Hallelujah. And it doesn't say anything about Eliezer getting upset or saying, what do y'all think you're doing? They all come up for the spoil. Hey, look what we have done. Well, thank God there's some Eliezers that stood their post. And we have a church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hallelujah. We got a church in Nacogdoches, Texas. We got a church, churches around the country, because there's some Eliezers that their hands were froze to the sword, and when they wanted to quit, they just couldn't. When they wanted to sin, they just couldn't. When they wanted to do wrong, they just couldn't. They just stood their ground. They stood. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the next guy, Shammah. That's S-H-A-M-M-A-H, Shammah. Shammah, that's a good name. I think some of y'all are, name your kids Shammah. Yeah, name. I like to see little kids. Next time I come, I want to see some little kid run up and say, "Oh, Brother Bud, my name's Shammah." And I tell you what, I've come here to stand my ground. Now, let me tell you about Shammah. Shammah had a pea patch. And the Bible said, all, A-L-L, this is in the book, it's in the book. A-L-L, all Israel forsook him. He's in this pea patch. It's a pea patch. But it's his pea patch. And it says that the Philistines all gathered together in a troop. And Shammah wouldn't run. Everybody ran. Shammah ain't running. This is my pea patch. I ain't going nowhere. I'm not giving up my peace. I'm standing. And Shammah stood his ground. And the Bible said, God, not Shammah, God wrought a great victory. God wrought a great... Look, if you stand, remember, God give you the power to stand, and it's God in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Shammah stood his ground and wrought a great victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over a pea patch. Let me tell you something. This is our pea patch right here. It may not look anything more than a pea patch to a lot of people, but it's our pea patch, and we ain't leaving. Oh, yes, there's people that tried to get us to quit. The people are trying to get us to leave, but we stayed. We're staying. This is my pea patch, and I ain't leaving. I'm a Shammah. Glory, 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 glory. Be a Shammah. Stand your ground. I ain't leaving. And God will wrought a great victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you, I had more experiences in the army about being overwhelmed all alone and God coming to my rescue. Hallelujah. It's exciting to watch. But look, God's not going to work you laying up on your couch, drinking an ROC Coca-Cola, eating a Baby Ruth candy bar, thinking about how hard things are. He's going to work when you get under pressure. You get to working and stand your ground. God will come on the scene. Amen. Hallelujah. I watched them. And God will send you help. God will wrought a great victory. And I watched God do that in my life. Not just when I was in Vietnam, but after Vietnam and through life. My wife and I decided to make a stand, and we stood. And we're so glad we did. Because at the time we stood, we didn't want to. We didn't want to. We wanted to quit. That's what we wanted to do. But we found out you don't get to do what you like to do. You have to do the right thing. And this is what helped us do the right thing. So he said in the 15th verse, or 14th verse, stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth. Now, let me tell you, this girding, your loins girded with the truth, that's talking about right here. I don't know if you ever seen these. It's not talking about a one-inch wide belt that holds your britches up. This is talking about a big, wide, girdle-like belt that goes around you. Any of y'all ever seen these big weightlifters? You know, and before they, I'm talking about those guys that pick up that big stuff. And they put this deal around them. You know why they put that thing around them? It keeps them from hurting themselves. It holds their torso erect. and so they don't hurt themselves, and it gives them strength in their torso that when they're going to be under a great load. And that's what they're talking about here, is that when you get under a lot of pressure and you get under a load, that you're going to have the truth girded about your loins, that it'll hold you straight and erect, that you can get under this weight and pick up this weight. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, I was reading this book, and this man was saying there was three reasons why he liked to watch the Olympics. Because he said, this is what he said, the Olympics are these people that were chosen out of thousands of people to represent their country at the Olympics. And these people have these three things that they quote to themselves when they step into the arena. There's three things that they quote to themselves when they step into the arena, and here they are. They step into the arena, and they say, I am prepared, I have obeyed the rules, and I will not quit. That's the three things. I am prepared, I will obey the rules, and I will not quit. Don't you think that ought to be our motto every time we step through them doors? I have read my Bible. I've been praying. I am prepared. I've been studying. I am prepared. I've obeyed the law of God, and I'm not going to quit. Praise God. I'm here. Count on me. I'm here. I'm focused. I'm not going to quit. Those are those three things. I think all of us ought to learn those three things and keep quoting it. I am prepared. You know, see, the thing about preparation to an athlete as well as a Christian is all this time we're preparing, nobody's seeing you. I don't know who cleaned the church this week, but it looks like this church has been cleaned. And it didn't get cleaned by itself. Somebody's cleaned this church. Somebody's done a lot of work around here. And I'll just venture to say that most all this is being done when nobody's here. Nobody's patting you on the back. Nobody's lifting you up with praise. Say, whoa, look at that vacuum cleaner pusher. Wiper. Boy, look at that. Look at the talent there. There nobody can push a vacuum cleaner like that guy can. You know, there's just not a lot of praise to cleaning a bathroom. Somebody cleaned those bathrooms, and there's just not a lot of praise. There's nobody in there clapping for you, and nobody's written a song about you. Oh, these precious bathroom cleaners. You know, it's just not there. Athletes, when they go to bed early and get up early at 5 in the morning so they can start their runs, there's no crowds. There's no cheering. There's no confetti or nothing. It's just cold, lonely, and who wants to do it? Everybody wants to bring the gold home. But how many is willing to pay the price? Everybody would like to be in the bride of Jesus Christ. That sounds like fun to me. But who wants to pay the price? Whoops. Oh boy, it's late. Gotta get home fast. I'm standing my ground, boy. I'm standing my ground. And I don't remember where I was at. Once it hit 10 after 9. But girded with the truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And that's our being rightly related to the truth, that protection that comes around here that causes you. Like he said in Proverbs 6, where he said, he that sweareth, is that 6 or 15? Psalms 15, where he said, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. And, you know, there's something about when you get this, you're dedicated to it, and you stand. Having your feet shod with a press, I'm gonna make this real quick. Feet shod with, by the way, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel piece, I'm telling you, this is more than just your foundation, the truth that you stand on. I understand that, but having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel piece is really more about you witnessing the truth to others. Nothing will do more for a Christian than witnessing. I know you're probably not doing it. And I would say probably most of you ain't never talked to, I'm talking about besides Aunt Willie and or whoever, you know. But to walk up to a stranger and say, do you know Jesus? You know, and then if they come back with something smart, said, that's personal, then you could say, well, that's why I'm personally asking you, do you know Jesus? And you know, tell somebody, how in the world are we supposed to, do you know that you're calling, everybody in here has been called to be a light? And I'd say most people don't even know you're a Christian, much less a light. That's being shod with a purpose. You know, when you let people know what you are, it puts pressure on you to stand upright, doesn't it? Yeah, they're watching now. And above all, take it. You know what I hate? This is what gets me. People that come to me all the time, and you know, they're going through marital problems and stuff, and they come say, Brother Bud, I just can't take it no more. You what? There's no blood? Your arm's not a cat? What? You mean you're not bleeding? What is this? I can't take it no more. Get out of here. I tell people, don't never say you can't take it no more. You can take plenty more. Get over it. We're Shammahs. We're going to stand. We're going to stand, and the Word of God is going to help us to stand when we don't have the strength to do it. God's going to help us. Amen. We're Shammahs. We're Shammahs. We ain't leaving. We're standing. So, well, it's tough. Well, when it gets tough, the tough get going. Remember, we started this off with, finally, brethren, be strong. Be a Shammah. Be a Shammah. Who knows? God may have to freeze your hand to the Word of God and cause you to just keep on fighting when you give out. When you feel like you've done all that you can, then you just stand and see the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just, anyway, let me get to the last one. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'd like to go to number 7. Number 7. And number 7 is in the 18th verse. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. Praying. Now, look at the 19th verse. Now, praying is the 7th one. That's that's one of the biggest parts of our armor, is praying. And then look in the 19th verse. And for me, that utterance, if we could just change that word from utterance to preaching. Pray for me that preaching may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Now, I needed that scripture, especially in Vietnam. Now, what's Paul saying? I'm going to get scared. I know I'm going to get scared. Times get tough. I'm going to get scared. Would you pray that I can preach the gospel boldly when I get scared, and I'll stand and I'll have all of this armament on me, and I'll stand when it gets tough. I'll stand and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. All of us are living epistles, known and read of all men, and the whole world is looking for a Shammah. They're looking for Shammahs. They're wanting somebody to follow, somebody that'll stand when they could see him go through something that everybody else would quit and run, but they stand. They stood their ground. I want to be a Shammah. I want to stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to be able to stand when the going gets tough. Praise God. And that's why you've got to pray. You've got to add prayer to your armament, because that's where your power is going to come from. God bless you.
I enjoyed that. Praise the Lord. Makes me want to say, call me Shammah. I was thinking about Brother Bud this past week when I was in the Dominican Republic. I always go in this store when I get there. It's called Jumbo. It's kind of like a Walmart Supercenter. And when I get there, the motel room I stay in has a little refrigerator in it, so I always go to Jumbo and I get sandwich meat and cheese and bread and cereal and milk and water and coffee for my coffee pot, because I eat a lot in my room. And anyway, I was in Jumbo getting stuff. Brother Green was with me, and I told him, I said, oh, I want to get some hand towels. You don't use a handkerchief over there to wipe the sweat off your face. You use towels. It's you sweat enough over there where you need something more than a handkerchief. It won't work but just about two wipes. So I carry a towel. And so I reached up and I got me a towel, and it was kind of a beige color, you know. So Brother Green said, Brother Smith, I need a towel. And I said, well, all right. So he got a light green one. So I put my beige one up and got me a green one. I got two green ones. And because I don't have a washing machine to bring it home and wash it. I just wash it out and hang it up over the shower. And he said, well, I was getting a different color so I'd know the difference between mine and yours. And I said, well, I'm getting one the same color as yours. Whatever color you get, I'm getting. So I could tell he didn't much like that. But I made sure I got the color that he got. Later that night, he and I we was in a service, you know. We're preaching and shouting and going on. It was hot. And I was wiping my face, and he is wiping his face with his towel. I'd lay my towel down, and he'd lay his down. And when he'd lay his towel down, we got them mixed up. But I'd take mine and smell of it. And then I'd pick up another one, and I'd smell his. And I told the people about Brother Bud's message about being in a foxhole over in Vietnam and his gauchos. I mean, ponchos, not gauchos. I'm just checking y'all, see if you're still with me. You know, I'm sure you've all heard that, where they all just, you know, they got jumped in a foxhole and they pulled off their ponchos and throwed them in the corner, and because it got hot, all those guys down there in that little hole. And no baths. But when they got ready to get out of there, they all started looking for their poncho. And they discovered how to find out which one was theirs, which was the one that didn't smell. You know, you can smell other people's, you know. Do you ever walk in people's houses and when you walk in, there's a scent. There's a smell in here. Stand there a little while, you won't smell it anymore, but you get used to it. Every once in a while I've thought of this. I've had employees tell me something, you know, at times they'd say, they'd pick up my coat from me or get it, you know, and they'd say, "This smells just like you." You know, it's been a while since anybody said that to me, but back when I was in working, going to the office, you know, somebody once in a while would make us. I think maybe my grandkids has made a statement like that once in a while. And you have a scent. And anyway, I picked up that towel. I gave them that lesson. I picked up one, smelt it. I said, "That's yours." I smelt mine. I said, "It's mine." I said, "I know it's mine because I can't smell it. It smells good to me." And Brother Green, you know, he smelled mine. He said, "I can't smell yours either." I said, that's because I'm getting better all the time. Yeah. You know, I said, "You just keep working on this and yours will get to where it won't smell." But I thought about Brother Bud, and I did that for a little lesson for him, you know, just to help him realize that our spirit's showing. And I appreciate Brother Bud's message tonight. That, you know, people, we are a testimony. You overcome by the word of your testimony and the stand that you make for God. And I appreciated this good lesson that he gave us tonight. And I hope my poncho smells like Shamus. Hallelujah. I want to, before we go home, just real quick, I want the ushers to come on, take Brother Bud up an offer. And I'd like to bless him. You know, we don't get that many opportunities to bless men of God and leading men in the body. Sets up works and labors in the meetings, and I just think we ought to work on that. I don't know what y'all done with them. Did y'all bring the offering? Yeah, they're back here by my chair. Let me get them. And we could get a song here, and I'd like to help them on their trip, but I'd really like to just bless them, you know. Just, we don't get an opportunity. Brother Bud, has so many responsibilities over in Mexico, and we've got a church in Nacogdoches, one in Sebastopol, and got a church up in Milam, Texas, and down in Brownsville, and in the real South Texas area over in Mission, and what's the other name of that town there? Mission and Brownsville, the other town, not in Mexico, San Benito. Yeah. and they travel and labor a lot. They don't get an opportunity just to visit churches in the body that often. I think we're blessed to have them come by here. And then you could feel that, you know, Brother Bud he's trying to deposit something here that'll help us. Let's take it home. Let's meditate on it. Let it sink down and work in our hearts. All right, God bless you as you give here before we go home. Pray for the meeting this week and weekend. I know it's a long weekend for several of you working or have a holiday and some time off. If you're not going to get to go to the meeting, well, enjoy your time off. But get in here Sunday and help build and lift up this service. God's doing things here, and especially among our young people right now. Appreciate the zeal and what God's doing in their hearts and lives. And I'm expecting y'all to have a great weekend this weekend coming up. Glad Brother Bryant made it back. Pray for Brother and Sister Golden. They had car trouble. Not only did they had car trouble, while they were sitting there with their flashers on, somebody drove up and rear-ended his pickup sitting there, broke down. And so it always seems like, you know, I hope he just jumped up and turned around and said, "My name's Shamma. I ain't going nowhere." Hallelujah. All right, let's have a song here as we give. Praise the Lord.
Oh, well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. For my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield. Oh, glory. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yeah, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield. Oh, glory. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield. Oh, glory. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I promised Him that I would serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield. Woo, glory. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.